Blog Talk Radio.
See me.
welcome to Joy and Peace Community Ministry. Today, we have an exciting topic. Call your friends, call your loved ones. The number is area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. I am so glad, any lady, that you have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic. Before we begin, oh gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for each and every person that will tune in on this broadcast today, dear Heavenly Father. We give you grace, love, and peace today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you what you have shared upon us this day. Bless all the listening audience today. Bless all those coming on Blog Talk today by phone or computer, dear Heavenly Father. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are and whose you are. Thank you for being a wheel in the middle of a wheel, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise and we give you honor, dear Heavenly Father, because it's not about us. It's all about you, dear Heavenly Father. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a kind God. Thank you for being a merciful God. We just say thank you, dear Heavenly Father. You are worthy. You are worthy, worthy to be praised. So today, as we go in our broadcast, the title of our broadcast today is Joy in the Service of the Master. And I thank every caller that have come on this morning. If you at work, if you're taking a break, I hope you can tune in and listen to this. I will have you on computer. I'll have you on speakerphone. So let's roll with it this morning. I just finished praying. You know, when you think about joy in the service of the Master, you know, when I went over to Luke 10 and 17, it says the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. My, 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 my. Hear the demons submit to God's name. You know, those who are familiar with the scripture will know. Let me read a little bit. You know, people often think of these works in Jesus' name as a necessity but tenderest calling. They do their work with a grumbling attitude and consequently find no joy in it. Your attitude toward your work for the Master will play an important role in the way that you work for him. It makes the difference between happiness and unhappiness in his service. Your attitude will have an amazing effect on you as well as on those you serve. Remember that the living Christ is always willing to be your heavenly partner in everything that you undertake in his name. If you devote all your time and labor to him, you will not only go about your work with confidence, but you will also experience the joy that give you peace of mind because you are performing your task in his strength and to his glory. You know, when you think about joy, when God give you a task to do, a service to do, don't you know you can have joy in that service? You don't have to grumble and complain. You know, so many people always grumbling, always complaining. Just like James Cleveland say, God bless the day. You're even complaining with a loaf of bread under your arm. That's how much people complain. God have blessed them with so much, but they have so much negativity that they think about. You know, we have the joy of obedience. You know, faith and obedience are essential ingredients of a Christian life, of maturity and fulfillment. When a Christian complains that his life is at a spiritual low water mark or that it seems as if the spark that used to bring him so much joy has lost its radiance, you may be sure that he is trying to live his life in his own strength and not the strength of God or in his own way. You know, when this happens and you refuse to place your trust in God, or obey His will for your life, you are on your way to a dismissed spiritual existence that will cause your life to become without purpose and direction. You know, among the heroes of faith that we encounter in the Old Testament, Moses stands out as one who placed his faith in God despite the opposition of both the Egyptian and the Israelites. He obeyed the word of God, and as a result, he played a leading role in the establishment of the Jewish nation, acting as a mediator between them and the Almighty. You too today have an opportunity and an important role to play in your modern life. You must guide others toward a deeper and more meaningful relationship with the living Christ. The only way in which you can hope to achieve success is to trust that he will give you the ability to accomplish your goals, and just as it's important to obey his will unconditionally. Do this. He will use you for a great deal among the people of your time. You know, when you obey God and follow his instructions, he will give you the desires of your heart in everything. Ah, oh, my, 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 my. He will find what is good. It's not a question of choices. It is a river that flows at the foot of the invisible throne and move along the path of obedience. When you think about the strength of the Holy Spirit, I will try to remain within your will and to trust and obey you without any protest. We're talking about joy in the service of the Lord, joy of life in Christ, joy today in being obedient. Don't you know he said you be obedient, you eat the fat of the land? My, 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 if I have any callers on the line today that would like to say something, just let me know. You can hit one on your keypad, and if you're on my cell phone, you can just let me know, and I'll let you tune in where the world can hear what the men and women of God are thinking or saying in their spirit. You know, the Bible say in Luke 11:28, blessed rather all those who hear the word of God and obey it. You know, many people's attitude toward their religious principle is one of reluctant submission to a tiresome yet necessary discipline. Tiresome because it limits or subdues our pleasure, but necessarily for the well-being of the soul. You know, this should never be an attitude of a Christian believer, because Jesus came so that ye may have life in all its abundance. He wants you to have a life of purpose, vigorous, and joy. The entire Christian experience centered around a caring heavenly Father who wished only the best for his children.
All right, man.
His love is so incomprehensive, great, that he sacrificed his son, Jesus, offered you forgiveness, redemption, and the hope of eternal life. Through his Holy Spirit, he enabled you to live in trust, confidence, and victory. You know, what more could anyone ask of life? Have you had the promise of the very best that life can offer, and all that God expects of you is to accept his sovereignty in your life? Surely this is little enough to ask in exchange for a little of fulfillment and joy. You know, it's good if one can manage to have God sing inside of one. You know, like you walking through praying, you walking through cleaning and doing your work, a song will come to your heart. And I can think about this song coming to my heart right now. I get joy in my soul. God is in control. When you know, when you think about the joy, you may have a song. You never know what God may give you. You may be driving, and all of a sudden you break out with a praise. Behind the wheel, you got to, oh, it gets so strong sometimes. You got to pull on side the road and just give God the glory. Just give him the glory. You know, I go back to the perfection of the disciples' joy. You know, the perfection of their joy was not yet obtained. This could not be expected. They were young disciples, ignorant and imperfect, like all of us was. Their training was as yet only partial, and there was intervening several trials. Their master was about to lead them by death, and their prominent teacher and sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, had not yet fully come. Between his departure and the coming of the Spirit, there was sadness. There was doubtless great surprise at his speaking of his joy. And there, as such as honor stirred, they had the elements of spiritual joy to an extent they had not yet realized. The development of these was necessarily, gradually, and yet incomplete. You know, the perfected of that joy was attainable. That my joy may be in you, and that, you know, etc., this was to be attained. By continuously realization of their union with him, this union was made. It was a glorious fact. They had only to continue it and realize it in a greater degree. And with increased realization of the union, there would be an increase of joy. The joy of being connected with a divine life. The joy of infinite care and support. Christ rejoiced at his union with the disciples. And they are to rejoice at theirs with him. You know, if it was a source of joy to the bridegroom to be united with the poor bride, certainly it ought to be a greater source of joy to the bride to be united with such an infinitely rich and king bridegroom. You know, by continued participant of his joy, that my joy may be in you, not about or near out in them as a paternal well of living water, his joy was full and perfect, and it was even at their disposal, and they was invited to partake of it. As the branches partake of the life and sap of the vine, and his words and promise are as telegraphic wire to convey the message of his love to the soul, as golden pipes to convey the wine of his life, joy and fellowship to the heart. You know, joy was in its exuberant fullness, and his disciples are to be filled with joy by continuous participation of his fullness. And the more they take, the more they will get. You know, by careful limitation of examples, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy, etc., in him, they found an example which was most perfect, helpful, and inspiring. In one sense, his joy in relation to believers is a specimen, a most effective help to produce the same themselves. He helped them that may help themselves and make their own spiritual fortune. He pointed out to his disciples the fund of happiness revealed to them by precept. Example, the path of duty as the only path of real love and real joy. Let them tread it as they trod it. Let them abide in him as he abides in his Father. Let them obey as he obeyed, love as he loved, self-sacrifice as he self-sacrificed. Then his joy would be in him, and there would be fulfillment in him and in themselves. His joy would be theirs and still his own. His own is still practically theirs. The joy of the master is fulfilled in that of the disciples and that of the disciples in the master. You know, the perfecting of joy, although partially obtained, not is fully obtained in the future. Christians of all age have experienced this joy in a high degree. And even the sorrowful disciples, a short time after this, left the Sanhedrin with bleeding flesh, rejoicing that they was counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. They sang in prison, even in the most painful jail. But the joy cannot reach perfection here. For its perfection will be perfected a religion of the crown of life, which cannot be fully obtained but under heavenly and fixed condition, when the union between Christ and the believer's soul will be complete, when the torture stream shall at last reach the sea, and the joyous disciples shall enter into the joy of the Lord. We are talking today about joy in the service of the master and disciple. You know, when I was contemplating this here, thinking about the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I went back and think about where God have brought me from up until now, I think about the joy that I didn't grumble and complain. I say, it's time to move on. It's time to do something different. Okay, God, give me my next assignment. Where do I go? Where do I move? So be led by the Holy Ghost. Join in the service of the master. He told the disciples that he would come back. He would send a comforter for them. And he was explaining, letting you know you can still have that joy. Just because you see me on the cross, I'm bleeding. I've been whipped with many stripes for the healing of the nation. But I still got joy. I still love you. And when we think about all that God went through for us, you all, we can't help but have that joy. You know, but they that should enjoy him in the highest sense, in the fullest measure, in the most inspiring and cheering and effective way, that my joy may be in you. He does not bequeath to them sorrow. He takes that upon himself and grieve. That means when we're going through sorrow, we can joy. Rejoice. They say when a baby is born, and when a person leaves, you should be rejoicing. But when a person leaves, everybody is sad. They're crying because they have fulfilled their goal. They have fulfilled their mission. They're going on to be with the Lord. But we're allowed for us to still be here.
I just put it there, so it'll be out the way, Ms. Lord.
So that's what we got to do. We got to think. You know, there is no pure and lasting joy away from Jesus. Every other joy is falsely empty and transition, unworthy of man as an immortal being, and we're in sorrow. In union with him alone, there is real joy. The religion of Jesus is a religion of pure joy. You know, a lot of people have found more joy not being in the building, serving the master, going on Zoom, going on Facebook. Not that they feel like they have a lot of things to do afterward, but they're able to concentrate. They're able to hear the word. They don't have all that distraction. People walking in front of them, on the side of them, people hunching them, people writing notes, people chewing gum. Here, you can have joy. Even at home, riding down the street, a God will bring something to your mind that will baffle you, that just will blow your mind, and you will say, oh, my God, before you know it, you got to take control of the wheel because you've been throwing your hands up while you drive it, just giving God the praise for what he's doing. You know, the religion of man is a melancholy one, but that of Jesus is ever joyful. You know, the new birth is a circumstances of joy. The marriage of a soul to the merciful Savior is a source of ecstatic delight. Its sorrow is only accidental and for a season. Its joy is essential and eternal. And there is joy even in the sorrow, songs, and in his sight, in heaven and in his tears. It begins in a sight. It ends in eternal song. Today, let us make our life joyful by living union with the everlasting and joyous Savior. Let us abide in his love, appropriate his love. Then duty will be delightful, and every musical and will naturally melt at least to that fulfillment of joy, which is at the right hand and the everlasting pleasure of on his left. You know, when we think about joy in the service of the Lord, I know all of you are listening in by computer, by cell phone. If you just think back, just yesterday or early this morning, you can have so much joy in your heart that you just bubbling over, bubbling over. You know, all of the joy of the disciples sprang from him. Apart from their joy, there would be none for them because Jesus was right there with them. And although there's an inseparable connection between the fountain and the stream, between the cause and effect, between the sun and light and heat, between the joy of Jesus and that of his disciple, yet there is a distance, and such one that fountains ever be a fountain and the streams will ever be a stream. You know, the joy of Jesus will ever be his own and flat of inspiration. Disciples will ever be there at the stream of the fountain of joy. Today, we're talking about joy in the service of the Master. When you think about, somebody may want to say something on this topic about the joy in the service of the Master, I would gladly turn the mic over to you if you want to give words of wisdom. And if not, we'll go on. We just thanking him. The joy of Jesus, which was especially, I have someone want to speak. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm getting a little water. Hallelujah. You're not on the air. Hello?
Hey. Well, good morning. Can you hear me? I'm enjoying your talk on joy. And I just had a little short remark that I would like to make because
yes,
I heard
ma'am.
You
right ahead.
Quote the scripture, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I was just thinking the devil is trying to do everything he can to steal our joy. He'll try to steal it through your family, through the children, through people, through things. He'll just let things happen, anything to try to get your mind off the Lord and to steal your joy, to make you feel uncomfortable. You don't have peace, you're doubtful, and all of that. But if we can keep our mind on the Lord and keep the joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you lose your strength, you don't have anything to fight with. So
that's right.
I thank God this morning for joy. And joy is the thing that's going to keep us going. And we used to sing a song that this joy I have,
yes,
the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. So the joy that we have, God gave it to us. And God is the one that's going to keep us. So I'm enjoying you this morning. But if the devil can and you allow him and you don't have the strength that you need, he will steal our joy.
Yes,
thank you.
Will. Oh, thank you so much, Carla. Because I know all the things that we've been through, the enemy tries to creep up in our life and try to steal our little joy. But we got big joy, not just little joy. And throughout our broadcast today, we was talking about serve, attitude, and grumbling. How many people do you know, Carla, always grumbling and complaining?
Uh-huh.
Just like I said earlier, like James Cleveland used to say, they're complaining and grumbling with a loaf of bread under their hand and still complain. God done blessed with some bread They can drink some water, get them some meat to go with that bread, but they're still complaining. So, you know,
right.
When God is doing a work in us, baby, let him work on it. Don't complain. No, it may not be like we wanted this morning, but before the afternoon, you don't know what God got in store for you.
That's right.
You don't know what plans, what miracles he fixing to do on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm giving God the praise this morning for this topic. I only put it on for 30 minutes, and I thank callers from calling in. I even had a caller from Denver, Colorado, that was on with us this morning. And I thank her for coming on this morning. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we give you the praise today. We give you the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And thank God. Hold on, caller. Mm-hmm. So we give God the praise and the glory, because we're gonna hold caller, we're gonna hold our jaw. We're gonna hold our head up high with our jaw, even when we know daggers are being thrown at us, even we know somebody's talking about us and everything. God give us discernment. We're gonna keep that jaw. When the enemy is trying to send everything in like a flood, we know God will lift up a standard. He will keep our joy. Our joy is on the inside. We can show it on the outside, but we have that joy, that unspeakable joy. Oh, my. When I just think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's doing for each one of us right now, even on Blog Talk. Somebody going to tune into this broadcast later on, and I hope and pray that they have the joy that they need. By the time they got through listening to us, they will be so full of joy that they don't want nobody to take it away. What's more, the devil. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So we're going to give God the praise this morning and the glory. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Carla. You had something?
Yeah. And when we get an attitude of gratitude, of being thankful, that joy will automatically come. Because the scripture says to be content where you are. You know, and the world can't understand that we can go through things and things can happen to us and we don't lose our peace, we don't lose our joy, we just continue to praise God. They can't understand that. That's because we have joy, and our joy is not on the outside. Our joy is on the inside. Many people walk around with a smile on their face, but they don't have joy on the inside. But we can have a frown on our face, but we can have joy on the inside. But that joy will make you thank God through everything that you're going through.
Yes. That is so true. And thank you, Carla, for coming on this morning. Thank you for all the things that you give the listening audience this morning. We want to give God the praise this morning and the glory. I took it out for just 30 minutes today. I didn't know who all would be on the broadcast. But I said, God, this is a mission I'm on. So let me, if it's to reach people, I don't have to be behind nobody's pulpit. Long as someone hears the word, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on Blog Talk, Facebook, they'll get in the word that they can change from their wicked ways. And then they can hear from heaven. Oh, God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So, you know, this is the ending of our broadcast today. I had more, but I only did it for about 30 minutes today. So we want to keep that source of our Jesus joy and what joy was to him, you know. And we want to just give God the praise today and say, good morning, good evening, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. We adore you. We magnify you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord. We glorify you, Heavenly Father, because if it had not been for you on our side, where would we be today? So we give God the praise and the glory today. And as we leave the line, we don't leave his presence. So we ask him for traveling grace and everything to Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And stay tuned for next week for another exciting topic. I don't know what it's going to be right now, but God, reveal it to me in Jesus' name. So thank you, Carla, for coming on and sharing with me today about joy in the service of the Lord. And do come back again. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.